First, let me start with a simple duty of Hakoros HaTov to thank the organizers for the great cover that were allowing me to be here. And the topic is going to be about time, utilization of time, and it's going to be based on the Sedra itself. Now, as usual, let's start with the Sedra. You'll find some rather unusual questions with which perhaps we can elaborate what we're going to say. The first thing is, I believe this is the only occasion in the whole of Tanakh that you have the age given for a lady. Why should Sarah merit to be given her age? Now, the Mephoshim asked this question, and it's not for me to say how good their answers are, but their answers aren't really terribly satisfying, such as, for example, Sarah was the very first woman to recognize Hashem or the mother of Klal Yisrael, therefore we need to know how old she is. It seems to me to be a little bit of a non sequitur. I mean, why should we need to know how old she is just because she happens to have been the first? Another suggestion is we have to know her age in order to be able to date the Akedah and the Yitzhak. That's perhaps a more likely suggestion, but even so, it leaves a little bit puzzled as to why we need the whole detail of her age. The second question which is asked is the question of what is the significance of the number 127? Well, she might have lived that age. But the Torah goes out of its way to tell us there's something special about every number mentioned in the Tanakh in particular. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years, we know there's a tremendous significance in that number 120, like the Medrash says at the beginning of Zeh Sabrocha. So what is the special significance of this number 127, which is only found in one other place in Tanakh as far as I'm aware, and which is of course in connection with Achashverosh and Esther. And then there are a number of questions on the Pasuk itself as to in what way does the story about Sarah differ from, say, Yishmael. In the case of Yishmael, we have exactly the same expression, three times Shana. And why should we suddenly doubt that Sarah was wonderful, fantastic, Mekaben Mekaben Esrim, Esrim Keben Sheva, and with Yishmael it doesn't seem to fit in so well, because we know that he wasn't such a tzaddik. Of course the Gemara does say he did teshuva in the end, but the question is, where is the comparison? Why do Chazal make such a fuss about Sarah? And of course they do about Avraham Avinu as well. Rashi mentions Avraham Avinu at the end of the Seder. Three people died in this week's Seder. You've got Sarah, Avraham, and Yishmael. And in the case of Sarah and Avraham, we have this drash of the Meir Keben Esrim and so on. In Yishmael, we don't see it. And then, very often, if you've got a question, you ask more questions, and the answer will come a bit more clearly. You'll find there's a lot of surplus words around. In the case of Sarah, Vayiru Chaye Sarah, and then it finishes off Shnei Chaye Sarah. That seems a bit tautological, I think they call it. And the same thing in the case of Avraham Avinu, you've got Veila Yemei Shnei Chaye Avraham Asher Choy. And finally, in the case of Sarah, it says Meo Shona, whereas in the case of Avraham, it's Me'as Shona, and the same in the case of Yishmael, it's Me'as Shona. Now, those of you who are not interested in grammar, switch off. But those of you who do know anything about grammar will know there's a difference between an absolute and a construct, the smichus form, and ma'as is a smichus form, the hundred of, so to speak, or a group form, whereas me'or is the absolute. So that and these questions have troubled many, many people, and many, many mephoshim talk about many aspects of it, and as we're restricted to a 9 o'clock prompt, I'm going to leave you to look into the Mephoshim to find many of those questions. But I'm going to hone in mainly on the first two questions. Now, there's a famous Medrash which I think most people are familiar with. It's in the Medrash Rabbah. I'll read it out. Rabbi Akiva hoya yoshev doiresh. Rabbi Akiva was giving a drosha. Vatsibu misnamnem. Familiar sound. Vatsibu was dropping off. I don't suppose it applies to start the day in the Torah way. People weren't dropping off here yet. After all, it's early in the morning. You've specially come out. you're getting zrizus, etc., etc. But by the time we get to Daf Yomi at 10 o'clock tonight, you'll probably find many of the people are nodding off by that time. So Rabbi Akiva, however great he was, I don't think any of us can compare to the great Rabbi Akiva, but if it happened to Rabbi Akiva, then it's already a limited discuss for the rest of us. If you drop off a little bit late at night, it's not the end of the world. The more important, you should come to the shir and get his oros. Anyhow, tikkun l'oron. Rabbi Akiva wanted to raise the standards. He wanted to wake them up. What was the occasion for Esther being queen over 127 provinces? Elo tover Esther shehosa bas bito shel Sora, the granddaughter or the descendant of Sora was Esther, and she should come and claim her dues, and she's entitled to Merv Eshem Sheva, the similar called Merv Eshem Sheva Medina. Since Sora lived for 127 years, Esther is Zerka to be queen of 127 provinces. Esther was queen of the whole world when she married Achashverosh. According to the Alkut Me'amlo, as he quotes a Sefer, which says there were actually 252 provinces in the world. I don't know if you've counted all the provinces up to today. I don't know how many you divide Russia into and how many you divide China into, but apparently in those days there were 252 provinces. And Achashverosh, because of his behavior, when he was really king of the whole world, and because of his behavior in connection with the Jewish people and the Torah and the Beis Hamikdash, he gradually lost many provinces until he ended up with just one over half. And that's how he came to be king over 127 provinces. So you could say, well, that's why the Megillas Esther mentions 127, because it was just over half the known world at that time. But how do we know there were 252 provinces? Well, the only thing I can think of is because of the 127, so you're going in a circular argument. Because we know that he was king of 127, therefore we can deduce it was 252 provinces. So you're really back where you started from. What's the significance of the 127 provinces in Megillas Esther? So the Chazal knew that there was this problem, and therefore they tied the two up in the Medrash, and they said there must be a connection. Now, the Chiddush Yerim asked the question, is why did this particular Medrash come to mind? I mean, we're not told that Rabbi Akiva was saying this in Parshas Chayesoro, and we're not even sure whether they had a Parshas Chayesoro at the time of Rabbi Akiva, because they may well have had a 3.5 year cycle for the Torah, whereas now, of course, we've got a year cycle. So the year cycle may well have come from Bovel, and the 3.5 year cycle probably came from Eretz Yisrael, so it's quite possible they didn't have a Chayesoro in the time of Rabbi Akiva. In any case, even if they did have a Chayesoro, it doesn't tell us that Rabbi Akiva was in Parshas Chayesoro. So why then does he mention this particular memra? So the Chiddush Yerim gives two terutzim. One teretz was, it was a time of terrible, terrible tzoros, and the time of Rabbi Akiva, as you know, the Romans were oppressing, and people were being misyayish. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't give up. You should know that the fact that you learn for a little bit now, you may not see your reward immediately. You may be learning the dachkus, you may be learning under pressure, you may be learning in terrible circumstances, but you should know the reward will come. It might take 3,000 years, but it'll come. And the proof is from Sora Imenu. She was deserved to have a reward, and it came 3,000 years later. That's the zchus of Esther. Every minute you learn today will have eventually some zchus in Olam HaBa, but even in this world it will have a zchus in the future. That was the first answer. The other answer, which is more nagir to us, is that a tradition wants to say that Sora was a lady who never wasted a moment of her life. We know that she had four doors to her house. I don't know how many of you have been involved in Kiruv, but if you have, you know your wife has a much more tougher job than you've got. You bring the guys in, but your wife has to make the tea and make the food and then invite them for Shabbos. It's very nice of us in Shul to invite every waif and stray for Shabbos, Achnasas Orchid, but who has the job of looking after them? Your wife. So, I mean, normally it's normal to ask the shush from your wife, but at the end of the day, do you realize how much extra work the wife is going to put into it? And that's an ordinary situation. Avraham Avinu had four doors to his house. He picked up every waif and stray. There were thousands of valet teshuva. Can you imagine how much work Sarah must have had to do? the whole time. So therefore, it's quite clear that Sora spends her life every minute of the day busy looking after Achnasis Orachim and teaching colours and teaching Vergalim. She had a terrifically busy time. So it says the Chiddush Urim, you see that every single day, every single minute of Sora's life was choshuv, was counted. And in that zechus, you should remember that there will be a reward which will come. And the Rabbi Kiv was telling the Talmidim, look, don't drop off at the moment. Look at the sechar you're going to get for a minute of learning Torah. Look how much you're going to get. If you only wake up and participate in the shir properly with life and chiyus, and show that you really enjoy it, then the reward will be an absolutely terrific reward will come in the future. That's the explanation of the 127 provinces in reward for 127 years. Now, when I was in yeshiva, Monty Miller Zichron Lebrocho used to give us a shir, and one day we came into the thing, and all of a sudden he says to us, boys, how would you like to own a house in Gateshead? I said, a house? We're young boys, we're not in the property game. You know, we were 20 years old, we didn't have any money. How are you going to own a house? He said, ah, you're joking, get out. Yes, there's a house available for you. So we looked at him, and he isn't normally, he didn't normally crack jokes, but we knew there was a point to what he was saying. He says, I'll tell you what, come and learn with me for 1 second and you'll have a house. I said, what do you mean, learning for 1 second? It's very simple, he says. He quoted this medrash, and he said like this, look, there were 127 provinces, 127 countries for 127 years of a life. Now work that out. That means you've got a country for every year. Now how many counties do you have in each country? Well, if you work it out, there's about 12 counties in every country. That means that for 1 month you're going to get a county. Now how many towns are there in an average county? Well, approximately 30 towns in every county. That means for every single day you're going to earn a town. How many districts are there in every town? About 24 districts on average in every town. That means for every hour of learning you're going to do, you're going to get a district in the town. Now, he says, how many streets do you have in every average district? Well, it goes between the count of about 60 streets. That means for every minute of your learning, you're going to get a street. Now, how many houses are there in an average street? Approximately 60 houses in an average street. Well, he said, in that case, for 1 second, you've got a house. I was sharp enough to quit, but I have to wait about 3,000 years to get it, though, won't I? He looked at me as if I'd said, yeah, but you will get it. It's got a guarantee. You'll have what's called a reversion, a long-term reversion. So I've got, if every second you learn, you've got a long-term reversion on in olam hazeh. Kal v'chayma sheva kal v'chayma ben b'mesha kal v'chayma v'olam habo. That's what he said. Now, we're beginning to see that the significance of mentioning the time factor in the case of Sora. What it's trying to teach us is this, that not a second of Sora's life was wasted. Same thing with Avraham Avinu. And the extra words which the Mephoshim all explain all indicate that as well. Because in the case of Sora, it says, Vayiyu Chaye Sora. Chaye means a life which is worth living. Not just stammer life, a life which is of a significance. And then it repeats, Shnei Chaye Sora. There's lots of different pshatim in Shnei Chaye Sora, many, many different pshatim. You can have the Ksava Kabbalah and the Netziv, all talk about it. In fact, there's even one pshat that Shnei Chaye Sora doesn't mean years of the life of Sora, it means twice the life of Chaye Sora. She lived twice. She lived for her Olam Hazeh and she lived for Olam Habo. Because there's two aspects to everybody's life, there's the Gashmis and the Ruchnis. So Shnei Chaye Sora, the Drash is, and this is not from a Chassidish Perush, this is from what might call the Litvish Perushim, that the Shnei could mean two rather than years, because there's two aspects to everybody's life. And Sora got both within her life. And if you look at Avraham Avinu, it also has extra words, it says Yemei Shnei Chaye Avraham. In the case of Avraham, not only does it say Shanim, it says Yomim as well. We find that with the Tzadikim often it says both. In fact, there's a famous Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Dalet which says about Havdalah. It says like this. Tanam Shmei Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Kol HaChosu Mekadish Yisrov V'Amavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol Ma'arichin Lo Yomo V'Shnoso. You'll have a longer day and a longer years. So you can understand that you can have long years and you live a long time, but how do you have a longer day? I mean, my day is 24 hours. How do you get more than 24 hours out of 24 hours? How can you be ma'arich l'yom? But the answer is this, that the shona means the length of your life, how long you're going to live. But yomim, that means not only the kamos, it's the eichus of the yom, how much you put into that day. You know, sometimes you come back from the office and you've taken 10 tremendous deals in one day, and that day stands out in your memory that today you've made a fortune, if that matters to you. And sometimes you come on from learning, oh, I had such tremendous kiddush, that day was special. Other days you go, you travel a long journey, and you get nowhere, and you get stuck in traffic, and you say, where's the day gone? This is the point. And you've all heard the expression, you need 25 hours in every day. Well, you make your 25 hours in every day by putting extra acres into it. And that's the chat, ma'arichin lo yomov ushnosom. Not only does the year get longer, the yom does too. That's interesting. In Tanakh, shana normally means a bad time, and yom usually means a good time. If you look through the psukim in Tanakh, whenever it uses the expression le'orech yomim, why does David say I want to live in the Beit HaMikdash le'orech yomim and not say le'orech shonim? Look at the Malbim. The Malbim says like this: Shana is the time of the years which all pass away, and people look at it afterwards. Where are they all gone? It doesn't look positive. It doesn't look practical. It doesn't look as if you're achieving much, and therefore you get very sad about it. We look back, it was 70 years. Where did they go? Our days are 70. Shnosav are 70. But wherever it's talking about things like the Beis HaMikdash and Torah, it usually uses the expression Yoyim. Le'orech Yomim, not Le'orech Shonim. We want Le'orech Yomim. We want to get 25 hours, 26 hours, as much as you can out of every day, not waste a second. That's the idea of Yom, because the day becomes as if it's elongated. And that's why you find the Ma'arichim Yomov Ushnosav, it's both we need. And similarly with the great Gedolim, like Yaakov Avinu and Avraham, Avinu in particular, it talks about Yemei Shnei Chayei Avraham. It's not just the Shonim, it's the Yomim too. Now, I remember when I was a little boy, just about bar mitzvah age, 48 years ago, Rabbi Avraham Babad Zichron Levrach was my Rebbe in Sunderland. He was a tremendous person, and he understood people extremely well. He had a tremendous sharpness and turn of phrase. Just to give you an example of some of the expressions that I remember, the other shul in Sunderland, two shuls, like in every shul, the shul you don't go to and the shul you do go to, and in the other shul they had a big turnover of rabbonim. It happened that seven different rabbonim took the place within about two or three years for various reasons. So rabbi asked what's going to, well, he said they turn out rabbonim very well in the other shul, he said they turn them out very well, he said. And then another expression, for a long time we didn't have a chazan in the shul, and all we had was a lovely gentleman who was a chazan sheni. So they asked him, well, how are you getting on with your chazan? He said, well, we've got a chazan of second to none. And he once had unfortunately the optician in the shul left over the argument over the the mechitza. Rabbi insisted to put in mechitza, and people weren't all that happy in those days, so he left the shul. Anyhow, he met him at a chasna later, and it was a bit embarrassing, but he knew exactly how to diffuse the situation. He said, I know, Mr. whatever it was, we haven't always seen eye to eye, but I hope we'll be able to make it. He had this beautiful way of doing things. Anyway, what happened was, he came to a chasna, and he said, I've just come back from the station to get to this chasna, and as I was at the station, I saw two people spieling down, they were playing cards at this on the thing. He looked at him and said, what are you waiting for time for? He said, what are you doing? He said. Oh, he said, well, we're killing time waiting for the train. So I said, do you know something? You've used the right expression, he said. He said, you killing time? You are in fact killing yourselves. Time is your life, but if you waste it, you're killing it. That's exactly the right expression, he said. And then he turned and said, and what has time done to you that you've got to kill it? I remember this expression in his special tone. What have you done? What has time done to you that you better go and kill it? And he said, you know what I'm going to do? In those days, they had, everybody was getting excited about the Royal Societies. The Royal Society, if you became a fellow of the Royal Society in those days, was a tremendous yichus. I don't know if anybody can cast their mind back 48 years and remember all this, the fuss about the Royal Societies. And of course they had the RSPCA, which was still got. and you've got RSPCC, which is for children. He says, I'm going to invite you all in the Akilah to join the Royal Society. I am one of the founding members of this Royal Society. It's called the RSPCT. What's it stand for? The Royal Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Time. And he makes all honorary members on the spot. I'm one of the founding members of the RSPCT. What I meant kept to my what I'm supposed to do is another matter. But at least I remember this expression. RSPCT, the Royal Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Time. He said something else, he said. You shouldn't say time is money. You've got it the wrong way around. Money is time. Use the money that you've got to create more time for your learning. Don't try and use your time to create more money. Whatever money you've got, if you've got enough, cut down your activities and use that money in order to create more time for yourself. Money is time, not time is money. That's what he used to say. Now, going further from that, it occurred to me that we haven't yet answered the question of what is the special significance of the number 127. And it struck me that, bearing in mind all that we've said, there's got to be some time factor in that number. But in addition to that, it's got to also have something to do with Achashverosh and Esther. It wouldn't have just mentioned it for nothing. Why do we need to know he was king of 127 provinces? And that actually puzzled me for years and years. I thought about the number 127. You don't find it elsewhere. So I tried factorizing. I don't know how many of you remember your arithmetic from school. It doesn't factorize. It's a prime number. That's also significant, because normally numbers are made up of other numbers and you work things out. This is a prime number on its own, 127, which in a way complicates it. Then one day I was walking down the street, and I remember I was walking down Gildersleeve Road, and I remember exactly the lamppost which I'd nearly jumped to the sky when I realised, I'm looking at this the wrong way, I said to myself. It's not 127, well that might have been, it's the significance of the digits. If you take 127, you've got three digits, a 1, a 2, and a 7. Well, you may still see the blank. What is the significance of those three numbers? And then I had it. If you look at Carbonus, you will find that every carbon civil which is brought, not everyone, but the ones which matter, are all brought either in numbers of 1, 2, or 7. If you look at Yom Tov, there's always Shevach Kvasim. On Sukkot is double, but stood 2 times 7. You've always got one ram, two bulls, or two rams and one bull. So when you're dealing with Carbonus Sibur, it's always in those numbers 1, 2, or 7. And then I had it. 127 is telling us that Achashverosh was trying to be shilek over the Carbonus. He tried to stop the Beis Hamikdash at Chatzia Malchus V'Seos. I'll give you up to half the kingdom. What's Chatzia Malchus? Yerushalayim and HaKodesh. What happened with the Ches of Chur, the 8 Big Day Kuna? His whole she'ifa was to destroy Karbon, destroy the Kedusha, to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. And Esther became the queen over that. That meant to say there's a significance in 127, not in the number, but in the digits of the number, as a remez there, that this is what was going on. Now, going back to Sora, also must mean that somehow or other there's this connection in time which enabled Esther to become the queen of the Carbonus, so to speak, the queen of the whole world. And that also puzzled me for a while until it came to the Yom Noroim. On Yom Noroim, I was learning the sugya of Oseh HaShalom. Why we don't say Amvorech Es Amo Yisroel, like we say in Eretz Yisroel or the Svarim, the Ashkenazim doesn't change it to Oseh HaShalom. There's a lot of discussion as to how you can change it, but the reason, one of the main factors in the change, is the gematria of Oseh is 381 and the gematria of HaShalom is 381. It's well known that we say Oseh HaShalom. Even the Hasidim and Svarim who don't say Oseh HaShalom, they do say it in the Kaddish, Oseh HaShalom. Some don't even know because they say it's a posuk in Eiv, you're not allowed to change a posuk, you've got to keep the posuk Oseh HaShalom. But in Shemoneh Esrei you can say it. There's different versions. But the significance of Oseh in HaShalom is 381. And that's connected with a Malach who's in charge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's books. Of course, you can't expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write himself. He's a king. Malach has to have a secretary. His secretary is a Malach. The Malach is called by the name Sefer. And when you have a name, you have like Gavriel, so it becomes Safriel. And if you count it up, it's 381, and that's why Hashalom is 381. This is all well known. I was giving the Shia, and then there was an accountant in the Shia at that time. I can even mention his name, you all know him. It's Bernie Faber. And he was sitting at the Shia many, many years ago, and he turned around, and as I was saying, he said, you know, I've just calculated that the Zohreinu and Lechayim is also 381. I nearly fell off my chair. First of all, I didn't expect somebody to suddenly come out with that. It's not mentioned anywhere. I've looked all over the other Osir and Hashalom and the Malach, that's mentioned, but Zohreinu Lechayim is not mentioned anywhere. The Gematria of Zohreinu Lechayim is 381. That's the beginning of the things which we say on the Rhine, and Osir Hashalom, it must be something to it. The beginning and the end. It's 381. So after I went to him, I thought, where do I find 381 in Tanakh or wherever? I couldn't find it. So what do you factorize? Do you know that 381 is 3 times 127? And then I had it. 3 is always chizuk. 3 always means doing something with, it's got a definite significance. And the 127 is the same 127 of Sorah, Imenu, and of Esther. On Yom Ha'Noraim, what are we asking for the whole time? Zochreinu Lechayim. What sort of Chayim are we asking for? That we're going to play football. We're going to enjoy ourselves. They all ask the question, how can you ask for anything in the first bracha? The three major answers to that question as to why in Zochreinu Lechayim we're actually asking for something. You're not allowed to ask in the first three brachas. One of the answers, given by the Chofetz Chaim and the Keremat Tzvi, they say, we're not asking for ourselves. We're asking leman cholakim chayim. We're asking in order to be able to serve you, Hashem, like a soldier who needs equipment. You go to the king, can I have £100,000 for the latest model of the gun or the computer system which will protect the realm? So the king says, I'm not going to give you money to spend on yourself. You know, you've got enough wages already. He said, no, it's not for me. This is to protect you, O king. We need all the equipment so that we can look after you. Oh, in that case, it's leaving them whatever you like. So that's Zochreinu Lechayim, leman cholakim chayim. Chaim. We wanted to have to serve you, Hashem. If you're asking for that sort of chayim, you're going to get it. And that's the significance of the 381. The 381 is teaching us that the chayim that we want is the chayim that Sarah Imenu used, which was to do chesed, and or the Torah of Avraham Avinu, and the others. That's the chayim that we're asking for. Every single second should be used. Yomim v'shonim should all be properly utilized. So if you look at it that way, we now begin to see at least the first two of the questions we are, the third question as well is answered, because the significance of teaching us in the case of Sarah rather than anybody else is giving us the message that Sarah was the one lady in history who never wasted a second. By Yitta Aisha, he planted the Avram, planted an Aisha, but who was the cook at the Aisha? Who did it? Sarah Imenu. So the message is that this lady Sarah has a schus that no other lady had, that she spent all her time doing this keser. And that's why it's mentioned particularly here, in addition to the other answers. Secondly, why does it say 127? It's now got a good explanation of it. The explanation of 127 is because this is a time-based number, which is leading to the 127 of Esther, which is connected with the Kiddush of the Beis Hamikdash and the Korbanos, etc., etc. So, and now it becomes clear why this number was chosen as distinct from any other number, because it's not just any old number which came about. You have to see why Abraham was 175, or maybe it was 180, but he lost 5 years because of base of the Talbot's Roll. Every number has its own particular significance. You have to work it out. As far as we're concerned today, we've just dealt with Sarah Imena herself. Is that a minute left?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just see whether there's any further fact which needs to be mentioned. Yeah. The other fact which seems to be mentioned to add to this is there are certain expressions which are used in connection with Avraham Avinu, such as Boim Bayomim. Now, Boim Bayomim is used in the case of Avraham Avinu, and it's also used in the case of David HaMelech. And the Farshim asks, what's this extra thing of Boim Bayomim? So one explanation is to mean they start off coming, so it's at the beginning of their old age. But I always like to think of it this way. I always thought, you know, a salesman comes along with his wares, and he opens his box and he shows you his his jewellery, he shows you his watches. When we come to Olam HaPo, what are we going to come to the Ribono Shel Olam with? What are we going to sell to the Ribono Shel Olam? The answer is we're going to come with our days. Boim by Yomim. Exactly as I explained this word Yom before. The Yom with which we come is going to be the days which we've used profitably. So we're going to open our box, and we're going to open the box, and the Ribono Shel Olam is going to have a look. It's going to say, on Thursday, the 24th of November, they all came to start the day of the Torah away, and they all learned Torah for half an hour. Fantastic. That's a plus point. That's a big jewel. And then, unfortunately, there'll be other times when we've perhaps wasted the time, and that you won't be able to show to the Ribono Shel Olam. So, Boim Bayomim, always in my mind, means they came along, Dovid HaMelech and Avraham Avinu came along with a pekel, and in that pekel was their days, which they were showing to the Ribono Shel Olam. We're sure they're able to do that. And the second expression, the final one, we'll finish with, in the case of the Gedolim, often says Asher Choy. Or Vayishka, if this extra expression of Shekhar, all the Mephoroshim say, Asher, we mean the life which you live. What, you don't live a life? He says, no. Asher Choy is a life which you live profitably. Like he says, Yachin Lukim Chayim, Marcha Lukim Chayim. Not just Stam Gelet. Because we're showing the Chayim, the Krayim, Mason, they're walking dead bodies. Or the Malbim says about the Shmuel, he was Pere Odom. That means a humanoid mule walking around. It doesn't mean a man who looked like a mule. That would be Adam Pere. But since this Pere Adam says the Malbim, Yishmael is called a humanoid mule. Why? Because he's walking around. Until he did teshuva, that's all he was, a Pere Adam. What we have got to be, Asher Chai. We've got a galet, as they say in Yiddish. In Yiddish it has this meaning. You've done very well with it. Or even in modern Hebrew, they say, Osim Chaim. Well, the Chaim there is the wrong expression. But we should all be in Mitzvah Hashem, like the Tzaddikim, Shunikasun, Misosom, Nikron, Tzaddikim. And the way you do that is by using every second, we should be born by Yomim, and we should be Zerfati Asher Chai.
Gadal, Gadashmai, Rabu,